That was the most beautiful day God ever gave me. When Jesus came into my dark life, that was the most beautiful day God ever gave me. When Jesus came into my dark life, if you feel like I feel, then we have been blessed already. Every word which is being read touches our hearts. It always has something to say to us. And when I hear the brothers reading the word, hearkening to what they say, then I have only one thought. If the word would touch the hearts of everyone like me, and every sentence and every verse would touch us so deeply, then there would soon be a movement of God in our hearts and in our midst. Whether it was this morning when Brother Gilles Song and Brother Kupfer were standing here, I listened to every word, although I'm in the room next to the platform, but I follow every sentence which is said. And whether it was today when Brother Rus spoke, for me it's every time a balm. The words of God may sometimes be very sharp, but if one digs rightly down to the foundation, then one discovers the eternal love of God. And when God announces the judgment harshly, then one discovers, if you really come to Him, His grace and His love. And everything has a meaning and a purpose, namely to bring us to the point where He wants us to be, so that we reach our destination. The craftiness of the enemy is therein to undermine everything what comes from God, to question it, to sow doubts so that unbelief can be harvested. And if he succeeds, then we have a fight in which he entangles us. And we notice how quick that can be, that people are entangled in a thing without them actually having to, simply because they listened to the enemy. Here somebody may say, I never have met him. Perhaps he then met the people without that they noticed it. It depends on who speaks out of whom. That is what matters. And you will see that it is the craftiness of the enemy. First of all, to undermine and to strike there where he sees the greatest danger for his cause. And everyone would do that. That's not even bad credit for the devil. That is his job. But Paul writes at one place that we looked through his intentions and know with whom we are dealing. This thought has followed me since this morning, when a brother said to me, listen, it has been questioned whether Brother Branham has confirmed it the way as you have said it. And I had to think about this, not for my sake. I actually do not need any confirmation, for it is available worldwide as a living testimony. But how quickly it can happen that the enemy speaks out one sentence, and this sentence could be, were you there? Is that how it was? And already these people have to deal with an inner struggle. They are entangled, and unless they look through the schemes of Satan, otherwise they will have big trouble. And one thing we may never forget, no one knows the Bible as good as God's adversary. And no one has dealt with it from the beginning as he. When he spoke with Eve, he didn't come with his own words, but he took the word of God and put it a bit upside down and then giving it back. Beloved, I'm not here to speak in my own matter. If I would have to do this, I would remain at home. But when it comes to the matter of God, then I take myself every right to defend it with all that is within me. And we know that God has given a last message. And this last message must be made known to all nations. And when it comes to it, about the confirmation at the time when I went to Brother Branham, you all know that back then I brought it with me today. The More Light Publishing House in Hamburg published my testimony on the first page in the first quarter of 1963. And the people would have had enough time to ask Brother Branham and the witnesses. More Light Publishing House, an extraordinary testimony. Here my photograph, and then the article on the first page. All those who were plagued by the slightest doubt would have had the opportunity to ask questions for years and to convince themselves of it. I just brought it with me. Actually, I don't need it at all, because, as I said, I don't speak in my own matter. But when people are brought into an inner conflict, then I think it's appropriate to say a few clarifying words. Another point is that which is used for it. And they say, and biblically that's perfectly right, first of all, the house has to be in order. And to it, I say 100% with all my heart, yes and amen. And if we then consider that we are living in the prophetic age, and that the enemy actually starts there where it hurts the most. And I say here now two things of the family life of Brother Branham. He, as the prophet of God, had to experience the agony of soul that his son Billy, without his consent, married, that he was getting divorced, and that he married the second time. I know his first wife, and I know his second wife, and the son Joseph, of whom he said, "You, my son Joseph, you will be a prophet of the Lord." Thanks be to God that Brother Branham didn't see it anymore when he got divorced. And when so much went on, as no one on earth would have suspected. And rightly, people could have come and knock on the prophet's door and say, "Listen, how is it with your family? The Pharisees have not all died yet. Some are still alive." But it should be noted that Joseph has reconciled with his wife, and that they are together again, as far as I know. I just mentioned this to show you that the enemy does not stop. He strikes wherever he can. But if then the believers also strike, then I ask you, on which side do they stand? Yes? If then the believers also strike, then I ask for the second time, on which side do they stand? A man who is born of God, he feels so deeply with his brothers and his sisters, the trouble and sorrow of a brother and a sister is your and my sorrow, you and my trouble. And here we have the word, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." When I was alone over there, a few thoughts came to me, and I said, "Lord, oh, that it would soon be like this, when one says to the other, 'I love you,' that this is also true, that this is also true, that it is truly like this, as we brought it over our lips. And when one says to the other, 'Brother, I stand behind you,' that this is then so, that God can rely on us, and that we can rely on one another, that one for all and all for one, that there could really be a divine unity among his people, as it is written here in this book. I think God will give this all by his grace. Forgive me these remarks. What a wonderful word we have heard already. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Who has recognized his counsel? And who was his counselor? I had to think. When Deuteronomy 30 was read, I had to think of the prophecy which is written in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4 from verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. A thought that prophetically reminds me here in comparison to the church is the following. Is this not also the way of the New Testament church? Was she not scattered into all the denominations which exist under heaven? And then, says God, comes the time of return, and then you will obey my voice. If you turn to me with all your heart and with all your soul, I think this is also your and my, this is our story. As God makes history with the people of Israel as a nation, so he makes history with his people that are saved from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Earlier, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, from verse 10, are written the wonderful words, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. What matters to me here is that it is written, gather me the people together. It is just so wonderful that the Old and the New Testament agree that God walks his way with his people according to his plan, and that all the events in the plan of salvation, that they fit into this divine plan, and we may be a part of it. Here it is said, as we heard it in Deuteronomy 30, and thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. And even they would be at the ends of the heaven, God will bring them back. And then also the words from verse 11, that they are no more in heaven, neither beyond the sea, but here in our midst. And then in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Let us read from Romans a couple of verses from various scriptures. Romans 15, verse 13. Here it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Then, verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here, my main concern is that the church, that the believers, become something pleasing to God, an offering acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself in holiness as the Son of God, so that his called out and redeemed church as a pure and holy offering is here. And here doesn't count what you and I can do, but only what God can do in you and in me, provided we trust and believe him. Becoming an offering acceptable to God, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. This is my wish and my prayer. This shall be the final goal of the proclamation of the divine message in the time of grace, that a worthy, a pleasing, a pure, a holy, a faithful bride could be presented to the bridegroom without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the bath of the word, sanctified in the truth, And as written here, an offering worked by the Holy Ghost. Let me read on from the same chapter, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. This great and mighty apostle, who had the privilege to see the pillar of fire, the bright light, and to hear the voice of the Lord, was not self-confident, but as he writes to the Corinthians, with fear and trembling, and here he beseeches the believers, not only superficially, but he says, I beseech you, brethren. The same I want to say today. From the bottom of my soul, I beseech you all, dear brethren, stand with me in this spiritual battle in the love of God, which the Holy Spirit works in all of us, with prayer and supplication that this divine commission can be carried out to the end, and so that the Church of the Living God can receive the last and greatest blessings which God ever gave. But for this assistance is necessary. And I know one thing. If the brothers perhaps cannot always support the work of God in the proclamation, but there is not one who cannot pray. Everybody can pray. And when Paul says here, I beseech you, brethren, then the spiritual battle is already very hard. Then it is not just an easy spiritual exchange of blows, but then it's down to business, and powerful weapons of God must be used. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. This is maybe the way. And one could say, Brother Frank, but now you speak in your own matter. Then Paul also did it. We are no fools. We have recognized of what it is about. Either we all stand or we all fall. And we must stand together as one man, but not in a self-made love, but in the divine love which the Holy Spirit works. And that what the Holy Spirit works is according to the Word of God and is of divine origin. And this doesn't start today and ends tomorrow. This never started and will never end. And it's of course written, prophecies will cease, knowledge will cease, everything will cease, but the love never ceases. So let us also take this word to heart. Then there is another word in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 7. Here it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Last night I pointed to it, that we do not hold speeches about God, but rather that we present the matter of God. And this figure of speech is written here. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What was hidden, God revealed. And Paul writes, if the gospel remains hidden, which we preach, then it remains hidden to them who get lost. And that's how it is. If these things remain hidden, which were revealed in this time by the prophetic revelation, then they remain hidden to them who get lost. But to them who are ordained for salvation, to them they are revealed. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how it is. That's how it was then, and so it is today. Don't you ever think that even the slightest has changed. Unbelief was then as it is today, and faith is today as it was then. And with God, nothing has changed at all. Even today, we present the wisdom of God in a mystery, which was hidden, yes, but Paul presented it, and Brother Branham did the same. We also spoke of the sower and of the seed. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Hallelujah. Last night we read from James chapter 3, verse 18, that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Today we read here that the Lord gives seed and food, and multiply your seed sown, and that the fruits of righteousness will come forth. Who is longing for it? Who was addressed? Beloved, did God reach your and my heart? Did we hear His voice? Have we understood what it means and what kind of privilege it is that God in these days speaks with us in a clear language, not in a religious fantasy, but true words of God were said to the people of God in these days, and we don't need to add anything to it and don't want to take anything away from it. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 13, verse 11, it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Also, these are true words of God. A brother who does not let himself be corrected and who is only busy with to correct others has not yet understood that it is written, not one brother will teach the other, but they shall all be taught by God. And I tell you today, if every brother would only have passed on the word revealed by God without adding his own interpretations to it, then already today a wonderful church would be visible, united under one head. But the church must go through these storms. When the singers sung the hymn, I had to think about that, what our Lord at that time said in the parable of the one who has built his house upon the rock, and of the other who built his house upon sand. The storms came, the waters poured down, and the one house collapsed, and great was the fall of it. But the other collapsed not. Not the house was the target surface, but the rock upon it was built. And the rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we by grace have built our spiritual house upon this spiritual rock, then even the devil with all his host can come. And our Lord says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. This we believe with all our hearts, by the grace of our God. This will take place, and we will stand our ground before our God. Then it says in Philippians, in chapter 4, from verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, from verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Also this word, we want to take it to heart, that we, by prayer and supplication, joined with thanksgiving, make known all our requests before God. Every time when it speaks of that time is coming to its end, and also that we all have still relatives and people who are on our hearts, then all of our inside is touched. Here, the way is shown to us. Not by cares, and most certainly not by arguments, but, as written here, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes I have caught myself doing it, that I let it be known unto men what is upon my heart and what touches me. And I came to the conclusion that the things which only God can change shall only be made known unto God. And when a very dear brother wrote me a very dear letter, 6 A4 pages long, and below is then written, I expect your immediate answer. You all know what I did then. This was the very moment when it became clear to me, you will not speak to anyone anymore about the things that God alone can change. You will say it to your God. Amen. Thank you. I took the telephone and I called this brother and said, herewith I want to give you directly my answer, namely that I will not answer your letter. And you can imagine how it then was. But that's how it shall be in the future. No one is helped if he tells to somebody else the things which he cannot change himself. Our help comes from the God who created the heavens and the earth. And we put our trust alone in him. But as Paul addressed here the brothers and said, stand with me and pray for me in this matter of God. The same I ask from you. Not good advices, not discussions, not conversations, but that what counts before God, that what reaches his throne, namely prayers, which come from the bottom of the heart, where it is about the matter and the work of God. There he will hear and answer and will give his blessing to it. From Colossians chapter 1, I read verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I don't want to read long. Here Paul writes that he came to know of the love worked in the Spirit in the hearts of the believers. What do we want to achieve today with this topic? We must recognize the difference between that what people call love, what people call conversion, what people call new birth, what people call the Spirit baptism, and what other topics there are, and between that what God really tells us in his word. What good is it to me when I speak of love and it is a love which I have in my pocket, and as I need it I apply it or not? Divine love is without respect of persons. Divine love was manifested on the cross of Calvary in forgiveness, reconciliation, and redemption. Whoever has the divine love must manifest these attributes, and if he doesn't manifest it, then he doesn't know anything of the love worked by the Spirit, because he didn't experience it personally. So, not only claiming something, but that what God has said in his word must become a firm part of our life as believers. Beloved, if we had the impression today that God meant other people, then we could let what we heard pass us by. But if we are aware that God in these days has spoken to us, to his people, whether we are present here or whether they will listen later on, that God has spoken to us in these days, then let us take to heart what he has to say to us. And as we are, we want to then come come into his presence and say, Lord, I'm not yet what I should be. But as we heard in the word of introduction from Deuteronomy chapter 30, at that time I will gather you from all nations. I will circumcise your heart, and you will walk according to my statutes and hearken to it. If this is the time in which God calls out his bride church from all peoples, tongues, and nations, may it be the time of the spiritual circumcision. And I hope that nobody misunderstands it, but you all know that under Joshua, before they crossed into the land of promise, again a circumcision took place for all who were born in the meantime. They remained uncircumcised. What good was for them the greatest promises and the greatest land of Canaan if they remained uncircumcised and thus being outside of the covenant? And then the circumcision took place, and then they forgot Gilgal and could walk forward by faith. May it please the Lord to circumcise our hearts with the sharp sword of his word, so that all things are cut off which don't belong in it, and that we understand that even a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Whoever has seen this in earlier days, how the mothers so nicely kneaded this leaven so that it can grow. Even we have kneaded this leaven so nicely. Throw it out. It must become a new dough. Many have dealt with things so nicely with their hands, kneading it so nicely, and thought, this is the thing. Throw out this old leaven and let us become a new dough by the grace of our God, so that he can walk forward with us, and so that we can see the last things on which we are waiting for, and which we out of conviction believe with all our hearts. Thanks be to our God for his wonderful word, which we have also heard at this weekend. To me it had much to say, and I hope that it will be with all of us, as it is with us here on the platform, and that God's word does not return void, but that it accomplishes for what it was sent for, and this God promised. For this we almost don't have to pray for. For the Lord God says, in his majesty and sovereignty, he says, the word which proceedeth from my mouth will not return void unto me, unless it has accomplished for what I have sent it for. Hallelujah. God stands behind his word, and his word will also accomplish in these days for what he has sent it for. Let us be firstly aligned with and according to his word, so that it then can accomplish in us and through us for what he has sent it for. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us come to the front and let us thank the Lord with all our hearts and soul. Faithful God, we thank you for this hour of grace, for these moments, for this time, O faithful God, which you have given to us by your grace. Lord, we are so grateful that your word did not remain in heaven and also not beyond the sea, but you have sent it, Lord, in the midst of your people. Faithful God, we are so glad for all the words which you addressed to us in this hour, in these days. We cannot do otherwise but to raise our voices and to thank you for it, O God. Lord, we pray you, tune in our hearts in this hour so that we exalt you, that we can cry out, you have remembered us in this time. You have led us out from all confusion into the promised land. You will lead us. Worship to your name, Lord. Give us the right attitude to thank you, to exalt your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Everybody who has breath, tune in. Glory to Jesus. Jesus alone. This alone will be glory. This alone will be glory. When free of woe, I shall see his face. When free from all woe, I shall see his face. This alone will be glory. This alone will be glory. On the other side, there is no sorrow. On the other side, there is only joy. On the other side, there one doesn't weep anymore. On the other side, there stays our Lord.